I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Puckle!
Puckle.
Welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my spectacular co-host. We've got the lovely, as always, Sublime Manic.
Hello.
And we've got, I don't know what adjective to give you today, Linian. We've got Linian.
Hi, I don't have adjectives.
Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything from the video game to the trading card game to everything in between. And boy, howdy, have things been going. Things have been fun. I've been working on prepping for Arlington in 2 weeks. By that, I mean I've been patiently waiting for other tournaments to complete so I can make sure I'm not being stupid.
Not bringing something that was so 2 seasons ago. Or 2 tournaments ago, I suppose.
Yeah, essentially, like, yeah. I mean, LAIC happened last week. It was very unsurprising. And then hopefully this week, Twitter has been pretty good. There have been a lot of people who are just like, so what happened last week was Lugia ended up being, Lugia decks were like 48% of day 2 decks.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah. So Twitter is just full of a bunch of people who keep claiming that they have Lugia counters, but they won't share them so they can take them to tournaments this weekend.
So liars, like normal.
Yeah, I kind of just want to watch them all, like, spectacularly burn and burn, like, and
crash
just crash and burn. So I'm waiting to see, but maybe there is, like, some truth to some of it. I don't know. I think some decks can beat it, but it's definitely going to take some very skilled piloting. So, Lugia is also just kind of very easy, and you can also skillfully pilot it. It's a whole thing.
I'm still rooting for my Giratinas out there. Get Tina. Mm-hmm.
I wish Tina was better.
There's a very very fun day 9 bit that I always think about with competitive stuff like this, where he goes, every time you have to sit there and go, I wonder what my opponent is doing. What if they do this really counter thing? And you're doing meta, just kill them. Because 9 times out of 10, the off-meta thing is going to get completely stomped. Things are meta because they work.
No, I do not disagree with you whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, it's always the new hot thing.
It's more, I'm probably going to play Lugia in Arlington because I'm basic. And I also bought the cards already, and it's kind of already a big investment in terms of that. I think this is one of the most expensive decks, like, in the past year.
Right, your sunk cost fallacying.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's from the most recent, like, set.
Yeah,
so
that too.
That's
too. And I'm just kind of, I'm just waiting to see, like, what tech you need to put into it to make it work.
It's the hot new thing?
Yeah, just to, like, make sure that there's nothing that changed in the meta too much this past week. Like, I see a lot of the anti-meta decks, and a lot of them just are based on trapping your Lugia inactive. So, like, if you just play Switch, like, honestly, just, like, run some Switch, you'll be fine, I think.
Yeah, what do you do to win the mirror?
You pray. You pray you get heads. And then they didn't draw any Orcreops. That's the game. But that's enough about me. you guys been up to anything fun? I mean, there's a new game that came out, obviously.
There is a new game that came out. So I'm living, honestly, my best life.
Oh, yeah? How's it going?
I'm just going to say it. Y'all know I'm very openly critical when I don't like something.
Yes, you are.
Yes, right? You are.
Yes, I am.
I will never say you're not.
Okay, so I'm just going to give the Sublime review. I love Gen 9. I do. I do. It's been the most fun I've had in a Pokemon game in a very long time.
We got a YouTube comment yesterday that was just like, it was on the episode, not last week's episode, but the week's prior episode. And the guy just like wrote a paragraph about why he's scared that we're all just becoming shills for the game. And I'm like, I don't know. So if you listen to that episode, Linny and Whimsicott and I are just like, this game kind of runs horribly.
But it's so good, other than the fact it runs like horribly. Absolutely inexcusable crap.
I haven't had very many problems with it, I'm happy to say. Obviously, like, people in the background are walking like claymation slowed down on a Quaalude, but
yeah,
that's all. Like, I haven't had any like bugs or anything on my side, so I like, not to say that those things aren't happening.
No, I definitely have had it crash like twice.
I've had a couple crashes, but the best thing that's ever happened is I was stuck in a falling animation loop until it decided I was flying, and I rocketed quite literally from about the ruins outside of the first little wander zone. I got shot all the way to the to Katie's gym, where I smacked into the watchtower.
This
and
is
that's
amazing.
The good bad bug.
That's amazing.
Well, that sounds fun. Yeah.
I know, it was hilarious. I couldn't replicate it. I was like, no. Yeah.
I love that.
I've actually loved the open world Pokemon game, so.
Mm-hmm.
Come at me. Or don't, but like, you know, live your life.
I think the way they did it was very, very well done.
Yeah. It might be the most fun I've had as an adult playing Pokemon.
I don't know. I think there's like something to be said for Legends Arceus versus this, but.
Yeah, but Legends Arceus is its own thing, so I'm not comparing.
I agree. I mean, they're both mainline Pokemon games, and I think in the more traditional Pokemon games, this definitely ranks some of the most fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do miss, like, just straight-up random encounters, because, and I, like, we could argue...
I don't.
We can argue that they're not there, but the number of times I've just run into Nimble is too high. at least when I get random encounters in the other games, it could be a not Nimble, okay?
Hey, it could be Capsicid.
It could be a Capsicid because he blends in with the surrounding.
It could be Capsicid. That's another one. That's one of those ones.
Yeah.
You know what I cannot find, though? You know what has been a giant pain in my ass? I don't know how many trees I have to bop. Applin.
Slackoth.
Applin? Yeah.
Applin is bad. Make a dragon encounter sandwich. That is the only way that, that you're able to do it.
Sandwiches, like, okay, so they have those gimmicks every gen with different... different mechanic with different
point.
Foods and
Malasada go into the curry, into the sandwich.
Yeah, I mean the curry was garbage last time, but this one has been way better.
I don't hate it. You know what makes me like it more than I should? You know what makes me like it more than I should? The fact that it's the same music that plays when Arvin had his scenes, because I love me some Arvin.
Oh, I don't even. The reason I love it honestly is that it's almost Surgeon Simulator, but with sandwiches.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, too.
And so, like, there's definitely, like, a little bit of just, like, this isn't gonna be perfect every time.
I want pretty sandwiches, too, so it's like, you better put it correctly. I haven't no sloppy sandwich.
They totally did it on purpose, too, because after you, like, put down, like, the first piece, it definitely changes the camera angle to screw you up on the rest of it.
Yeah, it's like, how much higher does it need to be for it to land correctly?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, there's definitely some eyeballing going on, but I've enjoyed it.
I really enjoy the sandwich making, actually.
Also, like, the selfie feature, I realize that's such a little thing. I'm obsessed with taking selfies, like, all the time.
Nothing about this surprises me.
Yeah, I've been playing less of the game than I expected, purely for other Pokemon reasons, because this game needs to be converted into a PTU for us. But the devs
we
have
are
said,
doing.
We're done. So that's now fallen to me, and Sublime's been helping.
Yeah, I mean, well, frankly, Linny and I would say we're the two most experienced people for doing that, having made our own PTU project.
Other than, like, the devs who are gone. Yeah. So we get to, like not have to content, deal with their mistakes. So
we don't have to deal with their mistakes.
Look, Gen 7 was a time. Yes.
I believe
Gen
that.
Gen 7 was a time.
I believe that. Yeah, they actually left the PTU, guys. They just
well,
drop it?
They've been doing it for 10 years, getting paid $0, nothing. And are now, like,
project.
They're like, hey, we were starting that in college, and now we're, like, 35,
busy.
And we have families and don't even play Pokemon anymore, so, like,
see, the irony is, I would have been too busy during college, but, like,
Right?
I'm having...
Yeah. I think they're just done. And you know what? I get it. They did 10, they did 10 years free, but it was a real... it's a lot of work. I can understand why they looked at this desk.
Yes, it was. Like, pass. I made a...
Hard
yeah,
pass.
Like, yeah. Takes years to do something like that, so I get it.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay. Well, I'm gonna cut us off here, and we're gonna go ahead, and we're gonna go talk about some news, because there's been some. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a few things. Series 1 of Pokemon VGC on Scarlet and Violet has started for ranked seasons 1 and 2. It bans all of the legendaries and paradox Pokemon from play. Roaming Gimmighoul is also banned because it probably doesn't exist yet, so that's probably why.
It does not.
If you look at the list, they just like blank out the slots in the Pokedex that aren't allowed, and there's like a random spot in between Gimmighoul and Goldengo. Mm. And so it is that Gimmighoul. Season 1 runs until January 5th, and Season 2 runs through January 31st. So go play while you can. It's a fun meta. I'm very excited. We have a Poke of the Episode team for it, and I'm very excited to go through it because it's so wacky, and it's actually meta. I can't get over it.
The Scarlet and Violet ridiculous. Meta is wild in it every
is, it's
format.
It's pretty crazy.
It is wild. Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, we have a whole episode for this next week, but yeah.
Anytime you have a new regional dex, that happens.
Yeah,
yes, but this one is the weirdest I've seen in a while.
Yes, I absolutely agree with Linian, actually. Like, we could go on and be like, I think Z-Hypnosis Zerkatree is silly, and like, that was a pre-bank meta thing, and I'm sitting over here now like, my Dondozo is eating my Tatsugiri. And now it's really buff, and now my Flamigo comes out and copies those stat boosts.
Or even just the absurdity that is, hey, so this Pokemon has speed boost and stored power, so...
Yeah, right?
Just have fun with
and
that.
And then it drops your special defense 2 stages. That's, yeah.
Yeah, you don't even do thing. That with this set, but you can.
Yeah, it's insane. It's just nuts. It's just wild, and it's very exciting. I'm impressed
by how many good things there are. Yeah,
I'm gonna get into ranked on stream this week, maybe. So I'm very excited to start doing that.
I'm still finishing my decks.
I have everything except for some of the Violet exclusives. So I was waiting for my wife to.
Well,
finish
then maybe
up.
We should trade some stuff because I got it.
Possibly, but I was gonna wait for my wife to finish.
I mean,
so
you
I can
trade your
her.
Wife after too.
That's
it's not
true.
Like you can't
That's
catch
true.
The exclusives again.
That's true. Maybe we should hook up after this. Figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tell us more, Linian, about Pokemon Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah, so Scarlet and Violet got a patch where the developers, or Nintendo specifically, which is actually even more rare, were like, hey, we're watching stuff and we're going to try to get this fixed. So,
if only they could watch Timer.
Sure. So that's unprecedented.
Yes
the patch,
and no.
The patch
I think.
Is not unprecedented. Nintendo taking a lead
that
on that
statement.
That is unprecedented.
Yes, Nintendo.
Patch,
yeah. Nintendo is saying, "Hey, we're gonna fix it. We promise. We're sorry." It doesn't happen very often.
Especially not for someone who's technically a second party developer.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's like one and a half party developer at this point, but yeah.
They fixed a lot of the bugs. The game still has memory leak, so turning it on and off is still advisable every once in a while. But a lot of it was fixed. Pokemon now close their eyes while they're asleep. The Elite Four music got fixed. I didn't have that bug, and I'm so glad. I'm so sorry for everyone
Same.
Who did.
Save.
Yeah, I never had
but,
it.
But, yeah.
Yay, we got a patch. It's not for stability yet, but maybe.
Yeah, you'll get another one,
I know,
so it's fine.
I think we will. I mean, Pokemon has a pretty good history of patching the games, and I think, especially because you know there's DLC coming, like, it's going to be fixed with the DLC at minimum.
Yeah,
and there's bank support, or home support, rather.
Exactly.
So.
That's coming in February, probably. You're absolutely correct.
So there's,
I'm just waiting to move my 6 IV Ditto.
All right. Well, you need one, Sublime? We could talk.
Okay. Well, do we have the technology already?
Possibly.
Oh, wow.
And so, but you should tell me about Pokemon Unite Supply.
I wish I didn't have to, only because, my God. Unite, you know. Anyway, they're adding two new battle items to the game, though, and that's exciting. A scarf that increases basic attack speed after the third attack, and the healing crown that heals up to 10% of your basic attack damage.
Oh.
And also, Kung Fu Panda's in the game now, so...
Go Urshifu. Have fun with Urshifu, Pokemon Unite players.
And, yeah.
I don't know if it's good or not. Yeah. I heard it's probably...
Sableye isn't killing you, yeah. But, you know.
All right, well, Pokemon Go, the favorite segment of... Hoenn confirmed! Pokemon Go Tour has been confirmed for February 25th through 26th, exploring the red and blue orbs and having a shiny Jirachi at the end for those of you who buy a ticket. Though it does not sound like... It does sound like they're not going to be implementing Kecleon by the time of the event, citing most Hoenn Pokemon will be available. Kecleon is still not in Pokemon Go, which is incredibly surprising. I like to believe...
That's bizarre.
In my heart of hearts, Kecleon is in the game. It's just nobody's tapped randomly enough on the screen to find it. I do also think that they're probably holding off on Kecleon for when they finally do catch up with the games. And they need something new to put in.
Yeah. All right, guys. We've added all of the legends, the ruins, the paradox Pokemon. But you know what? We got Kecleon.
I think they left out a couple other Pokemon as well. But Kecleon is definitely the glaring. It's missing. They did. I mean, it did take a while for Smeargle to show up in the game as well. Not nearly as long as Kecleon, but it did take Smeargle a hot second to get there.
They also had like a thing they were doing that. At the end of last week's UB event, we received teasers for Naginadal, Stack Attack, and Blacephalon. That's getting put on the back burner because it's actually Mythical Wishes with Kaldea special research that you can buy. I woke up bleary-eyed to open to go so I could, you know, do a quick catch, get that out of the way. And it was like, hey, do you want to buy Keldeo? And I went, do I want to uninstall this app?
Yes.
It's Pokemon Go. It's fine.
Yes, you do.
I think Pokemon Go, I think the player base is decreasing, but their revenue is increasing every year.
Yep.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't spent money on it in a very long time. Well, I only have picked it back up because I wanted to finish getting a Melmetal. But,
Yeah, that's valid.
But I just, every day, this gets very, very easy to just, like, you hold it, you watch the app tremble in fear, and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to pull the trigger, but I could.
Yeah. Well, tell us more, Sublime. Tell us more.
Let's tell you more about Pokemon Go, because there's never a shortage of news there. So research breakthroughs will be taking the same six for the next 3 months, so...
And they're all bad.
If you were insulted by Galarian Mime being a research reward, as opposed to, you know, like a Moltres, you'll still be. We also have Goomian Furfrow, because, you know, that's comparable. Also, Fight Me, Kieran. Raids this month will include Keldeo's wireless provider and friends. Virizion Wireless, Terrakion, and Cabalion, as well as a Kyurem at the end of the month, which is cool. And there will also be a raid day Hisuian Avalug. That is cool. Christmas Eve?
Yeah, 2 to 5 p.m.
But yeah, go play Pokemon Go on Christmas Eve if that's your thing. That could be a fun thing.
Potentially, yeah. Actually. I mean, it could be cute.
I mean, listen, I would rather do that than watch certain Christmas movies again.
That's true. You know. Some modern Christmas movies are fun, I'm going to be honest.
Modern Christmas movies are fun. That's true.
All right. Puckle's Pokey prediction. Do you think there's going to be a Fury content update similar to PLA getting Daybreak, maybe with certain Pokemon this time, before DLC releases? I'm going to say hard no.
Hard no. They're just going to put it in the DLC.
Going to say soft no. The soft being there's the stuff that's in the bank decks, or the home import decks. And I think they might do more Charizard-esque raids, but that is the only thing I foresee similar.
That is, I would expect that potentially, only because they were really good out the gate, but they were really good out the gate the last time with Sword and Shield. And I would love to see more things like that, where it's just like, hey, here's random Pokemon that's in home, go catch it. But I don't know. I just don't have too much faith. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I I've seen them flop before. I would love like weekly raid events though, like they're doing, and they announce it ahead of time instead of the week of.
That'd be nice.
And yeah, we all go and get happy and we get Pokemon that aren't in the decks yet, and we get to feel like we got something. That sounds like a good time, Pokemon. I should be your PR person.
Maybe a Snivy? Maybe a Snivy?
Maybe. Snivy's not in the home.
I'm aware.
The home release.
But I'm hoping it'll get added because it's the next gen to be remade.
I think it won't get added for that reason. That's what happened with Gen 4 and Sword and Shield.
Kills me.
Right?
That kills
Like, you look
me.
At every fossil Pokemon that got added to Sword and Shield, and they skipped Rampardos and Bastiodon.
That kills me. Well, you know, it has to get in eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
It's been how many years? I don't want to think about it. Anyway.
Since 2018.
Sublime, as a Minior fan, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Minior is the same way. I think we're literally missing something. It's almost single digits now. It's like 15 or 16 Pokemon that haven't seen the light of day in a very long time.
Yeah, it's mine and Linnean's favorite, literally.
No, I don't disagree with you. I think it's nonsense. I do expect those Pokemon specifically to be in the DLC.
Yeah. It's coming. It's got to be coming.
Yeah, I think so. I do expect them to be there, because I think every Pokemon before the Switch ends its run with Pokemon needs to have a home on the Switch.
It needs to get out of it.
It needs to be able to come...
Yeah, not a retirement
Every
home.
Pokemon needs to be able to come out of the Pokemon home and into a game on the Switch, I think.
That part.
That is my personal feeling. And we're very, very close. One of my favorite Gen 5 Pokemon is still missing, too, which is Zebstrika. Like, I really love...
Zebstrika! You want to talk about an overlooked Pokemon.
I love the design of Blitzel and Zebstrika.
It is! I'm so shocked it hasn't gotten a variant.
Yeah. I thought that we would definitely see it in this one. I mean, we got Girafarig. Like, I was just like, oh, maybe we'll get that Blitzel back. Unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be the case. But oh, well. We do have, a couple other things. I believe Claude9 is going to be doing this weekend on the 10th. He is going to be around noon Eastern. He's going to be doing a big trivia event on stream over at Twitch, twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. So be sure to check that out. His trivia streams are some of my favorite things. He's very good at it.
Also, they are absurdly difficult, so just, like, be mentally ready.
Yeah. Additionally, Puckle Advent Calendar is ongoing for those of you who aren't on the Discord. I've been purposely keeping it to Discord this time just to... it's not super exciting yet because we are still doing giveaways on Sword and Shield because the software that we use to distribute Pokemon hasn't updated for Scarlet and Violet yet, but we do anticipate it will be soon. But yeah, if you're interested in that, come to our Discord, pucklediscord.com. You can get it. We're going to start putting them on social media as soon as we get the new bot for Scarlet and Violet. Also, patrons are getting shiny Japanese 6IV Dittos. So if you want that, be sure to join the Patreon. There's going to be plenty of chances to get it throughout the whole month.
In which game is that one?
That's in Scarlet and Violet.
Good. All right. Just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Yeah, because it has to be for patrons because I'm doing it manually right now. And... Mm-hmm. I'm going to be test driving a lot of features with it, and I'd rather it be with a smaller group of people than the general public. All right. Well, on that note, we are going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon.
Hello and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Professor Snag with the rules. The co-hosts are working together as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that you, the listeners, have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct without using the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz. Thank you for that introduction. We've got great questions today. Today is the first week we are allowing Gen 9 questions in. So I do hope I do hope that you two are ready for the ultimate action here. All right. This is going to be from Trev, the late night legend. In Generation 9... When you defeat a Snover or an Abomasnow, what item do they drop?
Snover berries, final answer.
Oh, yes, that is correct.
Snover berries is correct. You guys are 1-for-1.
Why did I know that?
You know what? It reminds me of Skyrim because you'd get snowberries. So like
snowberries.
Okay. Always amused me.
Yes. I think I just noted that like absently at a menu, and then my brain was like, "That's hilarious," and I guess.
Where are the snowberries on Snover?
They're white.
They look
that's
like
why
little,
you can't see
they
them.
Look like ornaments sometimes, probably, I imagine.
You know what? I really like that.
All right. So the next question is going to be from Farmer Fox. Blazebreed and Aquabreed Tauros learn Flare Blitz and Wave Crash, respectively, at level 55. What move does Combat Breed learn at this level?
Double Edge. I just had to convert it yesterday, or... maybe 2 days ago. It's
yep.
Double Edge.
Oh, thank God. Yep, you're carrying us.
Double Edge is correct. It does learn Double Edge at level 55. Blaze Breed and Aqua Breed learn Flare Blitz and Wave Crash. Well, you guys are 2 for 2. Your next question is your Pokedex entry question, as always. And this one is going to come from Liger, the Trivia Master himself. It's Violet Dex entry reads, it drives enemies out of its nest by sucking in enough air to fill its long, narrow lungs, then releasing the air in an intense blast. Who's that Pokemon?
It sounds like what's the electric bird?
Kilowattrol? No, that whole thing is about soaring and stuff. I'm pretty sure this is Dunsparce because it gets Boom Burst now.
Oh, and it would have a narrow throat. That's true.
Like, the
you
whole
know what? That
thing
makes sense.
Is a giant tube.
Yeah, that checks out.
Is Dunsparce your answer?
Yes.
Yeah, let's go with Dunsparce.
Dunsparce is correct. It is not
Kilowatt.
The other entry was from Scarlet, and it says, this Pokemon uses its hard tail to make its nest by boring holes into bedrock deep underground. The nest can reach lengths of over 6 miles. All right. Well, you guys are 4.
Well, dang to Dunsparce.
You guys are 4 for 3. This is the best people have been in a while. And it's all been Gen 9 so far. I don't think this next question will be Gen 9, but we are going to go ahead and get this question from P. McGee. Which 5 Pokemon have a unique ability that provides 1.5 times power to a specific type?
Oh,
a specific type. So adaptability would not count.
Bombardier.
This is only worth 2
Rocky
points,
payload.
By the way. And there are 5 answers. I will give you...
So you need 4?
Give me 4 and I'll give... Yeah, for every 2, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
What's the... Delmise. That has Steelworker.
Delmise.
Bombardier and Delmise are both correct. They are both correct. There are 3 more.
And they boost specific types of moves?
Specific types of moves.
Oh, Fairy Power, Dark Power. Or Fairy Aura, Dark Aura. So, Xerneas and Yveltal.
He said by 50%, so those by wouldn't 50%. Count.
Oh, by 50%. Never mind. Okay. Well, dang.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, no, that would have solved it. Drought doesn't
Pokemon
count.
Pokemon or abilities?
I need the Pokemon,
looking for Pokemon
that have the abilities.
They boost a specific type by 50%.
Yes.
Yeah, nothing else gets Rocky...
Well, what I was incidentally thinking was, like, Drizzle and Drought.
No,
I
did,
yeah. Technically.
Well,
boost
I'm not
going to
give you a free hint. I'd give you
50%.
A free hint, but you guys are doing really well, so...
Yeah.
But would something like Drizzle and Drought count? Where
no.
It
no,
provides
no.
A...
The,
okay.
The ability itself...
So it specifically boosts a specific
type, yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
Hmm.
Well, we are stumped now that we got one.
You
well,
do have
like,
the
we
hint,
got the
but...
No, because we got the point, so the hint is a point if we get the base stat total. The base stat
we
question,
love a
rather.
Perfect run.
Huh. 50% stat... 50% damage boosts to specific types. Would it count as if it's, like, under certain circumstances, or does it have to be all in?
I think it's all in. These look like they're all in.
Okay. Regidrago and Regieleki are 2.
Those are also correct. The 5th one that you missed is Berserker.
Yep. Steely Spirit.
It's Berserker. Yes.
Oh, Steely Spirit, right. Yeah.
But yeah. Good for you guys. That is...
All Gen 8 and 9. Look
yeah,
at that.
It is. It all came from... Well, technically Delmise is Gen 7, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Delmise is OG.
But yes, that gives you guys, you're sitting at 6 for 4 right now. You still have the hint to cash in. You have your base stat question, as always. And your next question comes from G. McP, whoever this is. Who's G. McP? There's a P. McGee and there's a Liger. I thought Liger was G. McP. all right. This is going to be, this question asks, what electric type has the highest base HP of all electric types?
Probably Belly Bolt.
Is Belly Bolt more than Ampharos?
Definitely more than Ampharos. It's like 110.
That probably... Oh, wait, no. Electric types?
Yeah.
Iron Hands. Iron Hands. I just want to call them by their name still. It's hard to adjust to that.
Honestly, there is a... I don't even want to say a theory, but there is a very likely conclusion that these aren't actually... Pokemon, like, it's not actually.
We've been
the...
saying that like how many years now with the Ultra Beasts as well, right?
Yeah, so. but no, like that these aren't literally what happened. These aren't basically that they came from imagination, not from actual
nature, past. Future, and past.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and there's a lot to support it. We don't need to go into that right now. But with that theory in mind, I like calling them by their fictitious names and not what they supposedly are. Either way, I do think Iron Hands is correct, and we are way off topic.
Oh, it's definitely Iron Hands. Like, it's definitely Iron Hands.
Iron Hands is correct. Iron Hands has a base HP of 154. The second place actually...
It's based on Hariyama.
The second place actually goes to Lantern with 125.
Right. That is 120. Yeah.
Belly Bolt and Stunfisk tie for third with 109, and then Iron Thorns is actually at 100. So there we go. There you go. You guys did good, though. You swept the whole thing. That's 8 points.
We did. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We've been so into Gen 9.
I mean, I asked Gen 9 questions on purpose because I want to. And, oh, I got to log in to be able to get to the thing. That's going to be fun. But, yes, there are standings, and I don't know what they are because apparently I got kicked out of my email. So congrats to you two. If you want more Puckle's Poke Quiz, you can tune in next week. To be sure that you hit up the next set of questions, or you can join our Patreon and get some Game Corner action going, which is just 30-40 minutes of just this. So definitely check that out if you're interested. Until next time, though, we're going to kick it on over to the topic. Hey, Puckalonians, I just wanted to remind you that our advent calendar is coming this week. From the 1st to the 24th of December, we will be giving away a different Pokemon. We'll be starting in Sword and Shield, since the bot for Scarlet and Violet isn't ready yet. But if you're a patron at the Ultra Ball tier, we will be setting up time slots to come and claim a 6IV Japanese Ditto starting on the 1st. Of course, you can check our Discord and our social media for all of the updates for which Pokemon are being given away and how to get them. Be sure you go and do that if you're interested, and I want to say happy holidays and happy trading. Welcome to the topic. If you read the show, you already know we're going to do top 5, bottom 5, Gen 9 Paldean Pokemon, mostly because we want to be able to include things like Tauros, Pokemon introduced in Gen 9, I guess. This is going to be our standard. We introduce a Pokemon, we talk about its design. I think this is going to be mostly design-based, right? Like, we're not going to have, like, personal feelings because they're so new.
No, yeah.
I think mostly from a design perspective.
Oh, we might have.
Well, we might have arguments, but... I'm just going to, like, prelude this with my personal feelings about the designs, and you can feel free to not slam me, or to slam me, actually. In Gen 8, I had a lot of other feelings going on at the same time, but I can say that in Gen 8, I really liked pretty much every design that they announced. Like, everything was at least average, if not better. That's how I feel a lot about Gen 8 designs. In Gen 9, I feel like there are a lot of Pokemon that I'm just like, but why? But why? Do we really need this?
Interesting.
Do we really need this? I don't think this is necessary. And I do think there's some, like, quote-unquote below average Pokemon that are just not exciting, especially in terms of design. So we'll go ahead. I mean, feel free to disagree with me. You can disagree with me on that. But I think there are a lot more lows. I think there are some good highs, though. But I think there's a lot of lows in Scarlet and Violet. And so my personal... I guess I'll start things off if you guys don't mind.
That's fine. Top or bottom? Starting high or low?
I'm going to go high first. Just honestly, to get the argument out of the way, because we already have this between segments.
Oh, no.
I like Toadiscool. I mean, Toadiscool is cool as well. I like both of them. But I'm going to say Toadiscool specifically, only because you see it running around the overworld more often. And I think...
I like how it pops up and down. Yeah.
And it's so goofy when it runs, because it's just got the two and it's like just running with its legs. And it's so cute.
I hate it so much.
Why do you hate it so much?
I hate the animation. I look at it and I'm filled with murderous rage. It looks like someone tried to make a joke Pokemon and it accidentally got left in.
Yeah. Perfect. This is amazing.
I think it's a great interpretation of, like, a Spore user, because, like, you know, you gotta have a new Spore user.
Yes. That is one of the downfalls.
It's also really bad at being a Spore user.
No, it actually is.
That's not unfair.
I got, like, super excited with Toadscruel because I realized the stats weren't that far off from Tentacruel.
It's exactly the same, isn't it?
They're the same.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, Tentacruel's so fast, and you learn Spore, and then you look at its ability, and it's like, by the way, if you use any kind of status moves, you actually quash yourself and make yourself go last in priority. And it's just like, are you kidding me? What? It would have, because I feel like it would have had a very interesting place in the meta if it was a fast Spore user.
Yeah. I like Toadscruel more just because the colors are much better on it and less disturbing. And I like how afraid I am when it runs, where it jumps and throws its whole 6-foot body at me. That is abject terrifying.
Its nose is disturbing. Yeah, its nose is disturbing.
A little bit.
Mouth, whatever.
A little bit, but it's fine.
It's great.
I love it.
I think we have to basically count it as a whole line, right? Because how do you pick?
If we count it as a whole line, I think it's a very fun, especially with this typing. I think Grass Ground is a super interesting typing, and it's only on Torterra, which obviously they don't feel very good about putting in starter Pokemon in the games anymore. So I really like seeing that typing expand to other Pokemon. I mean, if you're okay with Toadscruel, Linian, I'll put Toadscruel there. I like Toadscruel as well.
I would not put Toadscruel in top 5. I would put it in the middle of the pack, and I'm primal hatred for this Pokemon.
I don't know if I put it in top 5, but I like it, so.
We'll table that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so bottom?
Is there anything that excites you? Bottom, okay.
Yeah, bottom 5, I think Palmot doesn't need to exist. I think it's dumb.
What? No, I like Palmot a lot.
I think...
For me, it would be Wugtrio.
Okay, so I don't disagree with Wugtrio, but...
We'll get there.
Yeah, we can get there. I think Palmot is unexciting. I think it's just like a failed opportunity because one, the typing is cool, electric fighting. One, we also got a better one later on in Iron Hands.
But they're very different, which I appreciate.
Yes, they are very different. But I just think I think the evolution from Palmo to Palmot in terms of design is just not that different, and I really dislike it.
It could have gone straight from Palmy, and arguably it would only have been improved.
I don't think it needed the middle stage, you know? Like, Palmy stands up, and then from Palmo to Palmot, I guess he gets a little bit lankier.
It gets a collar.
Yeah.
It gets better hair. It gets a tan.
I think it could have, like Linnea said, just gone from Palmy to Palmot, but you can disagree with me.
I do see that.
Yeah.
I see that, looking at the three of them, but, like, I don't know. You think it's one of the worst designs?
I think it's a missed opportunity.
I wouldn't say it's the worst. Like, it doesn't hit that for me.
Okay, well, we can say both mine are garbage this time, and I'm okay with this.
That's fair.
Who wants to go next? Sublime or Linian?
Are we going for something good or something bad?
We do one of each as we go around the circle.
You do one of each.
Okay, so here's something that I actually kind of like this Pokemon, but I do find it ugly.
Okay.
In a way that I wish it wasn't, I guess I'll say, and that's Scovillain.
The only thing that, like, saves it is its really unique typing, and it's a really cool Pokemon.
Sure, and I like the idea of there being, a spicy chili pepper Pokemon.
Yeah.
I just wish it looked different.
It looked cool.
Or if you want it to look menacing, I think it just looks derpy instead of menacing, you know, like...
I'm about to put it on our Twitter.
It's the head shape.
I have that old picture from when we went to Nationals, like, back in 2016 or 2017, whichever year it was.
Oh, I love that picture, yeah.
The jalapeno, yeah.
And it's the jalapeno that Whimsicott drew. I'm about to pull that out and take a picture and put it on Twitter and social media, just so people can see. Because, like, when I think of fire grass Pokemon, like, that's what I imagined for so long. And then we got Scoville, and I'm like,
I guess, yeah. Well, obviously, there was a lot of, like, anticipation for when this type got added, and I don't want it to, like, skew my perception. And I like Scovillain. I just wish it looked...
Better, yeah.
Better.
You know what? I'd be okay with putting that in the bottom. I'd be 100%.
I would, too. I don't hate it as much as some people do, but I'm just,
No, some people really hate it, and I don't. I like Skavillain, but I think it's one of the weaker designs.
Yeah.
I think it let us down.
I agree with that. I agree it's a letdown. So do you have a top Sublime?
Sure. Well, no one's going to agree with me, but I will just say I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with Quackwivel.
I don't have a problem with Quackwivel. I have no problem with it.
You know, there's so many new Pokemon. I'm just going to say, I like all the new starters.
I don't know if I like the starters or I was just so burned by Gen 8 that anything with any kind of personality
was an improvement. You know what? That might be true. That might be true.
Because, like, I wouldn't say any of the starters are just, I'm just like, heck yeah, this is awesome.
I will say, I actually switched the starter I was going to pick when I saw Quackwivel.
Really?
I'm not even, like, I'm obsessed with Quackwivel.
I didn't even look.
It hits a lot of boxes for me that, like, are very, very niche. Mm-hmm. It's based on the Canarias Island, which has some of my favorite performers in the world. This is me being super gay, but, like, the drag that comes out of the Canarias is world class, and it's a dancer, and it's got an extra costume, and it does a lot for me as a fan of gay things, actually.
I have...
Yeah.
I just do not like its how it is proportioned, that it's just skinny Donald.
So, like, I think it's an above-average design. I wouldn't put it in top five, but...
That's fair. That's fair. I find that fair.
I do like it.
I like all the starters. I just want to say that.
That's fair, yeah.
You know what's a top five for me also? Arboliva.
Yeah, I could see that. I think it's a cool Pokemon.
I could see that.
Love the name, love the design, love the line.
I just, the name...
Love the typing!
The name grates, if only because they missed the opportunity to call it Tolliv.
Tolliv is a good name.
But it's a Spanish pun, right?
Yes, I know. I'm very aware.
And I appreciate that.
But Tolliv. I like Tolliv.
I'm very appreciative.
But Tolliv could have been very funny.
It kind of makes me feel like Smugleaf all over again and water. From Gen 5.
Yeah,
it makes me feel like that when you say that. I mean, I'm okay with putting Arboliva up top like that. We could put it into the top five.
It's got a great design.
Yeah, I don't...
You got a good grass and a bad grass.
There we go. All right. Well, Lydian, what do you got? Play some sick beats.
I want to start with a Pokemon that has very quickly shot into the top of its type for me. And it's really good, and that is Palafin. The evolution being just the heart, I thought was kind of silly at first, but honestly, I'm liking it more and more as I do it.
Do you know how many references to Superman that Pokemon has? An insane number.
So many! And I love it. The two different designs are both strong, if a little... like, the water one has a couple... Like, the bulky one has a couple design choices that are odd, but I do really like it. It's got a gorgeous shiny, which makes it look almost like an orca.
Yes, it does look very whale-like for a dolphin.
Also, I really like that you can get a base stat total 650 Pokemon with your only cost being I have to switch.
Which is just singles?
It's singles. It's even in doubles if you're running just like flipped.
Doesn't it get flip turn too?
It does get flip turn.
It gets flip turn when it evolves to encourage this.
Doesn't it get flip turn?
It does get flip turn. No, it's a wonderful Pokemon. I actually really like it.
I'm down with that, yeah.
There's so many things I love about it, because the ability's even called Zero to Hero.
Which is so good.
And just makes me think of the song from Hercules.
Yes, exactly!
I mean, I'm here for it. I think Superman Fish could totally get it. I'm here for top five with Palafin.
I'm down with it as well.
All right, that makes me happy. That
for those of you at home who don't understand the Superman references, one, it evolves at level 38 specifically, so that's a reference to 1938 when like the first Superman comic came out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is just Superman, because the idea is he switches out and he goes and changes his clothes and he comes back.
Yeah, no one can see it.
No one can see it.
When people were trying to figure out how to evolve it, people were trying to find phone booths.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's so cute. Oh my gosh. It's great.
I have a shiny one. I named it Diana because, you know, Wonder Woman. And also, for some reason, a physical attacking water type named Diana triggers memories.
I love that this is the dolphin Pokemon we got.
Yeah, we got, and it
yeah.
It's terrifying.
It's great.
For bottom, I have something I do not anticipate much resistance on. What is wrong with the man who made Spidops?
Oh, Spidops is such a bad
so
Pokemon.
So blocky.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay, it's blocky, but...
Least favorite early bug in a while. That's fair. I like Tarantula more than Spidops.
Tarantula is fine.
Spidops is garbage.
Yeah, it's Spidops. It's Spidops.
Like, I don't even know... So, like, we had a Pokemon that was literally just Minecraft, right?
But I like it.
In Knacklestack and Garnackle. But at least the names are fun.
They are.
I think they're actually really cute Pokemon in terms of, like, what their whole theme is as well.
When I first saw Knackle, it reminds me of, like, a Mario mushroom. I'm like, oh, does that let me, like, dig?
Knacklestack is great. I love the name, and it's got the cool salt abilities, and I really, really like it. But they definitely, like, messed up. Spidops are just like, what are you doing here? Like, what's going on? Why are you a Pokemon?
It's a St. Andrew's cross spider, which is why the legs are bunched. But then it's, like, doing combat cat's cradle. Like, none of it works together.
It's just, it's not good. And, like, honestly, the stats are garbage, too.
Well, sure, it's an early bug, but, like, they really...
It's garbage, but garbage defensively is bad.
Nimble to, like, low kicks is, like, way better.
Agree. They made it as usable as they could. Same with Relor and Rabska.
Low kicks, I wouldn't be surprised if it actually makes waves in some tier of competitive singles on Smogon.
Sure, it'll probably be in, like, RU, but, like, you know.
Well, yeah, because it's got tinted lens and then a lot of priority to use with it, right?
Yeah, it's actually really decent. It's a decent Pokemon. They definitely messed up Spidops.
And, I mean, Low Kicks has a cool design, frankly.
Yeah, and Spidops has none of that.
Spidops looks awful. I enjoy how it behaves in the world. Like, I like seeing it drop from trees. But visually, it's lacking, I agree.
Yeah, Tarantula, very, very cute.
Super cute. Love it. Love the idea.
I love it. And then just Spidops. What happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
I agree.
I just don't know. All right. Well, yeah, I think those are two very easy wins. Now I have to think.
Woo. Guess Spidops was what you were going to dunk on?
It's very easy to.
There's still Wugtrio.
There is Wugtrio. I mean, let's start with that. Wugtrio's garbage. I think we all agree to put Wugtrio down there. Like,
Yeah, Wugtrio's garbage.
Not only is Wugtrio garbage, it was like, we were all hoping it wouldn't be that, right?
Exactly. No, I was kind of hoping, I mean, with Toadiscool to Toadiscruel, I'm not as mad about that existing as I am about Wiglet to Wugtrio. Because I think Wugtrio is absolutely, like, and what's worse is, like, Wugtrio makes sense, too. I'm gonna go out there and say that Dugtrio does not make sense.
Yeah.
That Dugtrio does not make sense, but Wugtrio, like, actually thematically makes sense because the eels that Wiglet's based off of actually do bunch up, like...
Do cluster.
They do cluster like that. It's still dumb. I don't think it looks good.
Yeah, I hate it. It looks bad. The color's bad. The bending is bad. It's bad.
On top of that, like, if we're gonna have convergent evolution, maybe they can, like, diverge in their evolutionary paths as well. Like, that would be kind of cute to see, but...
Right.
Or give it a new, like, give it a, another extra evolution like we did with Zigzagoon, you know?
Or, like, just be one really big eel. It could have been, like, Wigmore, and it would have been fine.
I don't disagree with that. I think that would have been great.
That's true, too.
Yeah, Wugtrio, bottom. It's in the bottom.
We have three in the bottom there.
We have three in the bottom and two in the top.
We need another on the top.
I get a top, but I honestly don't know what it was going to be. Because, like, everything, I'm just like, this is okay. I think Cloth is okay. I'm not super excited about it, but it's okay.
Great shiny. But that's about it.
Yeah, I'm just like, Cloth is neat. You know, I'm just sitting here, I'm like, I just think it's neat. With most of these Pokemon. Because, like, nothing, like, really spoke to me outside of Toadscroll. Where I was like, yeah, this is me. This is the vibe. this is the vibe. I'm here for it this gen. If they're gonna do this with divergent evolutions, they can keep doing this all day long. Right. Let me see. What else came? I mean, there's Tauros, but I don't think Tauros is that exciting because I think there's too many. I think they just did too many Tauros.
They kind of overshoot there.
Yeah, I think it was just too many Pokemon.
I'm glad they did.
Do you want to pass?
I'm gonna pass. I'm gonna pass because I can't make a good answer. I can't make a good answer. What do you got, Sublime?
Well, let's see here. I'm going through it all real quick. Design-wise...
You're feeling the same way.
I got a bunch.
What you got?
Tell us, Linian.
So I went out and made a list of these so I would have stuff in my head. I don't want to dunk on too many babies, but this one just needs to be said. What is wrong with Shrudel?
Oh, yeah, Shrudel doesn't need to exist. Like, Grafaii, they showed us. I'm like, oh, that's a cool single-stage Pokemon.
Its stats aren't even that... Yeah, I was a little disappointed that they have that, like...
And they're just like, oh, Shrudel needs to... You know what? Shrudel's in the bottom. I came up with my top, by the way. I was scanning through everything again. I think it's a quick vote to Shrudel in the bottom.
Just Shrudel specifically.
Shrudel, not Grafaii.
And it's a monkey! Why does it start as a rat?
Top five, though? Clodsire. I think Clodsire is really cool.
It is! You know what? I agree. I really like how they made it different than Quagsire, and I quite like Clodsire's design.
I think Clodsire's design is very good, and I really like the animation when it attacks and everything.
I like that it erupts into spikes.
It's the kind of Pokemon you eventually drop, but it's really fun to have a ground type with water.
Right.
That said, it is going to be relevant because they redistributed its stats to be one of the best special walls in the game, like Blissey tier.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm very excited for Clodsire.
It is.
I love Clodsire. I think it's a great Pokemon. I think the design is really good.
It's fun.
Because, like, you look at something like going from Persian to Berserker, and those seem, like, wildly different. I love how close Clodsire is to Quagsire, though. I love how they're close.
It's an adult axolotl is what it is.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah, I agree with you.
So, Quagsire is still, like, a bit on, kind of based on the juvenile, which is the well-known one. This is just, like, they went to the full adult one, and that's, I like that.
I just think it's really cute. I just think it's neat.
I just think it's very that. Absolutely.
I just think it's neat. I really like its design.
Yeah, it was a really, really good variant evolution.
Mm.
With Clodsire, so the way I feel about things like Runerigus and Berserker, one, I really like Berserker. I think it's one of my favorite Gen 8 Pokemon.
Mm.
When I evolved my Pokemon into those for the first time, I like a little piece of me felt like, oh, I'm kind of missing out though, because, you know, the previous evolutions are really cool. But with Clodsire, I was just like, no, this is my Quagsire. I'm here. I'm not missing out. This is a good time.
So we have 4 on the bottom, 3 on the top right now.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
I have a suggestion for the top,
okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
And it's associated with one of my favorite parts of the game, Revavroom, icon of Team Star. I think it's got a really cool design.
Revavroom,
yeah. Like the car engine exhaust with its tongue on the top, with the multi-sill.
I haven't looked into it a lot because I was very excited about Revavroom. I think I'm disappointed a little bit, but this is just me getting my hopes up. This doesn't have anything to say about anything. Because like Revavroom does the cool thing with Team Star, right? Where it becomes a car and then it gets like specific moves, kind of like Rotom almost. And I was kind of hoping we'd get that with Revavroom again. And we just did. Well, I was kind of hoping that Revavroom would be like, oh, I get like a little bit of different stuff. Like we get Rotom 2.0.
Well, let me say something on that. Rotom didn't get all its versions until Platinum, mid-gen.
Yeah, it got them in Platinum. Yeah. I agree. And so maybe that'll happen again.
You know? So all I'm saying is maybe it will.
My problem is I look at it and I'm like, ah, yes, a Splatoon character. It looks like a Splatoon villain more than it does a Pokemon to me.
Well, I don't play Splatoon.
I just know what their art style goes. I don't know.
Sure. I see that now that you say it. But I don't know. I really like the design and the concept.
I'm like... I don't feel bad about it.
If we don't think it's there, then it's not there. But, you know, wanted to toss it out there.
Let's keep it as something, as like a possible fifth slot.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there are a couple other things I want to talk about.
I'll let you take the floor then.
Okay. I want to preface this with, I did not think from the concept of this Pokemon that I would like it. However, Tatsugiri is hilarious and done very, very well. To still look like something that could exist, like a fish, while being a sushi reference.
Yes.
I love the 3 different colors, too, I will say.
First time I saw the different color, I thought it was a shiny, and I got so excited, and then I caught it, and I was like, are you kidding me?
And then you saw another, and another.
I was like, are you kidding me? And I was like, we just gave it 3 forms. Why does it have 3 forms? Is there any difference?
Different types of sushi.
It interacts with Dodonzo. So Dondozo has has a signature move, Order Up,
yeah.
Where depending on the form of Tatsugiri inside it gets a different buff.
Oh, I see. That's actually good. That's good.
Yeah.
That is good.
And they also made 2 Pokemon that are very much a partner gimmick like Pusselmainen, but by giving Tatsugiri Storm Drain.
And made it work?
Yeah, but also with Tatsugiri having Storm Drain, they don't have to be used together.
That's true. But I think there's a lot of benefits to doing it.
There are, and you should, but they learned from their mistake with plus and minus, and I think that that's commendable as well.
I'm very impressed that they've made a doubles Pokemon strategy that actually works. Like, that's my honest answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Dondozo isn't, like, just limited to being that, because he's an extremely big unawaremon. It's seeing OU success.
Kind of like Quagsire, a little bit, like...
With way more stats.
Yeah, it's, like, better Quagsire. Honestly, Water's also just a very good type.
It is.
Mm.
A little less good without Scald, but still.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against Tatsugiri either, because, like, it's a cute water dragon type.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
So, like, Tatsugiri is, it's also just cute.
Yeah. I like all its dex entries being like, it's really smart, but really weak. It's like, okay.
With 120 special attack. So weak.
So weak.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, yeah, then you look at all of its other stats, it's like, oh, you really can't do anything but attack.
Yeah, I mean, it's not terrible.
No.
They're not that bad, no.
Not terrible, but it's not great.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd put Tatsugiri on the top.
Hell yeah.
I'd put it on the
That's
top.
That's fine.
Yeah, let's do that.
I like it.
So, yeah, I think that fills up... No, it doesn't fill up anything. We've got four and four.
Four and four. Four and four.
No, we've got one more, and I have two I want to suggest for it later, but...
I want to suggest one for the top. It's not the strongest Pokemon, but I think it's the cutest Pokemon. Maybe.
Okay, that could win.
Dashbun!
No.
No? I love it. I love my bread boy.
I think it's very cute, and again, it's above average, but I don't know if it's top five.
It is. It's cute. I think it's a very good design, and it's got a cool ability.
I like the ability being Flash Fire for something that, you know, doesn't...
Isn't.
Yeah. I like it conceptually. It's not top five, and it looks... I know they had to do a dachshund.
Delicious, adorable.
I know it had to be a dachshund, but I look at the incredibly long braided loaf body, and I'm like, this feels weird. I wish you were a compressed dog.
I wouldn't put it top five. I wouldn't put it top five, that's for sure.
I don't know, I thought it was real cute. Okay, what else?
It is really cute. I mean, there's a lot of Pokemon.
Well, what about a bottom five? We haven't talked about the, you know, horrible mistakes yet.
Okay, I have something that I think is very ugly, even though it's very strong.
Uh-huh.
I think Goldango is hideous.
No!
I do agree with that, actually. I think Goldango is horribly...
No!
It's hideous. I hate it.
I think it's a horrible design. I really dislike its design.
Yes. Hate it.
I think it's hilarious, and I like him ride him on his skateboard. I love Golden Go. No!
I hated that, too. And I love Gimmighoul,
I think Gimmighoul's got a cool design, and I think when they went to Golden Go, it was just weird and disgusting.
I hate it.
I feel like I'm going to be strongly outvoted here, but I love that Pokemon.
That's not going to top five, I'll tell you that much.
It's a cool Pokemon, don't get it wrong, but, like, I think it's bottom design.
I think design-wise, it's garbage, yeah.
I love the design. I laughed for a solid 5 minutes. Like, my boyfriend had to check on me.
It's just so derpy.
What do you have, Lydian? That's not Golden Go.
For the bottom five?
Bottom or top, I don't care.
For bottom, I need to say it. Iron Thorn is completely unanimated, and that is an egregious, unforgivable sin to me.
I haven't seen it yet, to be fair, so I can't comment.
Love Iron Thorn. I like all of them. Yeah, I thought Iron Thorn was really cool.
It doesn't have any animations other than its attack and stuff. It just stands there, and I really don't like that. Like, I get it's a robot or whatever, but... I really can't forgive that.
Do we like Iron Valiant?
I love Iron Valiant.
Yes.
Because I kind of like it. Can we put that in top five? Because I kind of like Iron Valiant.
I was wondering if... Well, I thought we were just avoiding. Actually, I have one last contender for top five before we do that.
Okay, I think Iron Valiant makes it.
Tinkaton, though.
It's mid.
Because we weren't doing... we haven't done any of the paradoxes.
That's okay.
But I feel like we should talk about them, though. Like, we haven't yet on the show, but...
Okay.
I think Iron Valiant is cool.
Iron Valiant is cooler to me than Tinkaton, and I like Tinkaton, but Iron Valiant...
Yeah, but the thing is, I like a lot of the Paradox designs. I just thought we weren't touching those.
Yeah, I don't. I think we're in a good place where we got four others, and we could like make that their own category with one slot.
Have that the one, yeah.
Okay, all right. Because I was also going to argue that Armorog, and Seralege could share it as well.
Those are also very good.
Those are good. I think I prefer Valiant.
I think I.
Over, I don't know, like, the fact that some of the stuff is in this top five and not them is like, oh, okay.
Okay, then we can let's kick something else out.
I think we could kick out Tatsugiri or Oblivia.
I think we could kick out Tatsugiri. Like, it's a top five? I don't know. It's cool, but I don't know if it's top five.
I think we could kick that out for Seralege and Armor Rouge. I do agree with that.
Armor Rouge sharing a slot, yeah. I really like Slitherwing a lot, but that's not going to be as broadly held.
I actually really like the Violet version, the Iron Moth, as well. I like they did good with both of those.
It's a strong vibe. I just like Slitherwing being such a departure. Like, it's a bipedal moth dinosaur. And I like how the wings fold back to be like almost like a sail or spines.
Yeah.
But I don't like either of them as much as Iron Valiant.
Yeah, there's a lot. That's the thing. That's why I thought we just weren't touching the Paradox, because they're very much
their own thing. Yeah.
I like a lot of the Paradox designs.
I think the Paradox designs are interesting. I think once we get more story on them, it'll make more sense. Because, like, I just have, like, this disconnect between, like, I don't know why our magnets existed in the past and they're walking. Mostly Sandy Shocks bothers me.
I really like Sandy Shock. I'm sorry. It looks absurd.
Because it's, yeah, I like the idea of the, like, magnetic sand.
Yeah.
As its interpretation. It's magnetic sand.
I just sit here and I go, but why does this exist as a Pokemon in the past? Which probably doesn't, but that's a whole other thing. Right.
Well, if we want to just stick Iron Valiant, that's fine.
I think Iron Valiant is very good. I think it's better than Roaring Moon.
It's great. Yeah, Iron Valiant is great.
And it's got Fairy Fighting, which was a very requested type, and it's got the stats to use it.
It does. I do like Roaring Moon a lot as well, but yeah, I'm down with Iron Valiant.
I think Iron Valiant is better.
Iron Valiant, what? That locks our top five now, too.
Yes.
What is it? I vaguely lost track.
Palafin, Clodsire, Armorer, Seralege, and Iron Valiant.
Arbeliva.
What's the worst? What's bad? Let's see.
Y'all dunked on Golden Go.
Yeah, I'll dunk on Golden Go all day.
It's fine.
All day. That thing is so dumb.
For bottom Paradox, Scream Tail.
Yes.
I hate it. I do not like it.
Nope, it doesn't need to exist.
Why? Because I don't have that version, so I'm curious. Because I look at it and it looks cool.
It doesn't need to exist. I want to grab it by the handle and just... You know that scene in the first Avengers with Hulk and Loki? I just want to do that. Its stats are garbage. And it doesn't do... Like, I don't understand why it's Psychic Fairy.
It's pretty good in VGC.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah, it's bulky. It's bulky.
Mm-hmm.
And then does what with it?
Yep.
Support.
Just a lot of support.
I don't know. No, I do. I can't get behind it. The only reason I want to get behind it is with a large mallet.
I mean, I like it more than Golden Go, but I haven't really played it, so...
I mean, yeah, but in terms of Paradox Mons, I think it's the worst one.
Visually or what?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Just in general, I think it's the worst.
Maybe it's because I haven't seen it in person.
And they're everywhere, and they're just floating.
See, yeah, I don't have these complaints. It's the Violet player.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm like, if you guys say so, I just don't see it for
I'm
it.
I'm putting Screamtail. I like Screamtail in the bottom.
Sure. Is there anything else we hate more?
No, we have no more slots.
Okay,
then we're...
Do we think Baxcalibur looks good? I don't know.
I think it's fine.
I like it.
It's okay. I'm neutral on it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't dislike it. It's just fine.
I like it. I think he's cute.
Yeah.
Dondozo's ugly. Actually, Dondozo's ugly.
Dondozo is ugly, but it's got enough other stuff going for it. I don't put it in my bottom five.
Sure. All right. I like a lot of the things in the bottom five. They're just like not the best.
Our top five is Arbeliva, Palafin, Clodsire, Armorouge / Seralege, Iron Valiant. That's our top five. And then we've also got in the bottom five Scovillain, Spidops, Wugtrio, Shrutal, and Screamtail. Actually, after reading them as a group, I go, yes, these are correct. Like, as a group, like, you know what I mean? Like,
the only thing I feel in my heart needs to change is Goldingo should be on the bottom, but that's okay.
I don't think we're going to get that.
That's okay. I'd probably put it there before Srudel, but that's okay.
It's close to being top in Steel and Ghost on my little chart, but it doesn't quite edge out the Pokemon there. I truly love this little goblin.
All right. Well, you guys send in emails letting us know what your top five and bottom five Paldean Pokemon are for next week. But until then, we're going to kick it on over to the Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Pokemon of the episode.
And welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode is going to be Flamigo, and it doesn't have a national dex number, so enjoy. Hey!
It is the synchronized Pokemon classification. All right. Thanks to a behavior of theirs known as synchronizing, an entire flock of these Pokemon can attack simultaneously in perfect harmony.
Yay.
Yeah.
So it's just that short from Fantasia, you know?
Yeah. Flamigo is super interesting.
Is that based on actual flamingos? Like, do flamingos do that?
Synchronize? No, it's...
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay.
I think they were just doing it because they all dance together.
Okay. I was just wondering if it was like, oh, do flamingos have, like, perfect, like, are they in sync?
No, but he's Flamigo. He's your friend, so they're all friends with each other.
Yeah, he is your friend, so he's on your level. I like that.
And, I mean, the stats aren't bad either. Base 115 attack, base 90 speed, this is insane.
Yeah, and you can get this on the first route, too.
Yeah, you can get this on the first route, and, I mean, it is a single evolution. It's Flying Fighting, which is just...
Great type.
Yeah, it's just...
Seth is shuddering in fear somewhere.
It's just Hawlucha. It's Hawlucha without Umburden. It's fine.
A friend of mine in college had a Flamigo fake mon for something, and it was named Flamigo, so... That made me get...
The only thing you got wrong was that it didn't look... Exactly like a flamingo.
Flamingo.
It wasn't just a flamingo.
It was fighting flying, though. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's great because they kick, right? They're kind of like, they're like worse kangaroos. I mean, it's always got the one leg up in the air, so it can just like kick you with it.
Yeah.
So, Flamingo, though, has the ability Co-Star, which makes it exciting. Co-Star is an ability for doubles, specifically. This isn't for the singles meta, but... when a Pokemon with Co-Star enters the battle, it copies the ally stat changes for itself. So if
it's
you
psych
are,
ups for free.
It is a free psych up, which is amazing and very awesome, and it works together with a lot of the things on today's team that we have. I mean, this is a very fun team, and I think this is very. I mean, there's 30 different versions of this team floating around.
Yeah,
I think on VGC Twitter right now. So you could definitely find a team like this very easily that fits what your play style is, but this is the one that we have. So we're not going to start with Flamigo today, though. We're going to start with the things that help set up the strategy, and I believe you have that lineage.
You mean the Co-Stars?
The Co-Stars. The Co-Stars, yes. For the Co-Star, yeah.
Starting off with an underappreciated co-host who just got kicked off the top five, only to start apparently self-harming, Tatsugiri.
Yes.
So, Tatsugiri is holding a black sludge, and you're probably going, hey, wait, I didn't think it was a poison type. Correct.
You are correct.
It's not.
It is level 50, of course, because it's a VGC. 2 of 52 special attack, 2 of 52 speed, with a mild nature to make it easier to knock out. 0 HP, 0 attack, 0 defense, 0 special defense EVs. Yeah, yeah. If you're really confused, allow me to explain. It has the ability Commander. But the moves that it won't use too often are Hydro Pump and Protect, Endure, Helping Hand. The goal of this Tatsugiri is to get very low on health to trigger its ability, Commander. Now, how Commander works is it jumps inside Dodonzo's mouth, Pokemon we'll get to in a second, and gives it +2 to all of its stats, basically Extreme Evo Boost.
Extreme Evo Boost, yeah.
This makes Dondozo, who was already kinda schnasty, like a very strong Pokemon with Unaware, and makes it basically able to 2v1, which is good because while Tatsugiri is in Dondozo's mouth, it can't be targeted, but also can't act. It's a 2v1 situation. But if Tatsugiri faints, you can send another Pokemon out. Now, because it's untargetable, it's very difficult for this thing to faint. Unless it's holding a black sludge, which will kill it while in Dondozo's mouth.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely agree.
Which leads us to Dondozo with its ability Unaware, 244 HP, 20 attack, 4 defense, 4 special defense, 236 speed. Adamant nature. Now, Dondozo is slow, but with over 100, with 150 HP and like 130 attack and 100 defense, with those plus twos, this thing hits like a truck and really won't die. It's got the moves of Wave Crash, which is just Flare Blitz without a burn chance, and a water type, Earthquake, it's Earthquake, Protect, it's Protect, and Order Up. Now, Order Up will boost, like we said earlier, will boost a stat based on whichever Tatsugiri is in its mouth. I believe this one buffs your attack.
Yeah, that's the one that people typically use.
Mm-hmm. Speed is also somewhat of a thing, but...
Speed, yeah. It's not as big as the attack one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we have no Dynamax, so we have no, like, auto boost this gen, right? Mm-hmm. I think this entire team is just like, is a team that wishes that Dynamax was still a thing. Because, once you set all that up and Tatsugiri goes down, you send out Flamigo.
Also, I just noticed this, Dondozo's Terra type is ground.
Oh, it is.
Oh,
yep.
Oh, we need to mention that, huh?
Oh, yeah, we have to put Terra types in.
That's a thing to miss now.
Yeah, we do have to do Terra types, yeah. Flamigo is holding a Choice Scarf. It is got its ability Co-Star, so it'll copy those stat changes that Dondozo has gotten from eating the Tatsugiri. It is Jolly Nature, so we're going to go fast because we are max attack, max speed. And it is got Brave Bird, Close Combat, Throat Chop, and U-Turn. And if you're plus one on that 115 attack and you're already at plus one with the Choice Scarf on the speed, you're just going to do some damage with the Flamingo that you never thought you could do.
Oh, no, but it's plus two.
That's plus two. That's right. It's plus two.
Maybe three if you can get...
Yeah.
Because Unaware is one of those abilities that isn't affected by Intimidate.
Yes. It's great. It's a good time.
You know, I always knew this was strong. Like, I was like, yeah, that'll be good. And then I realized Stab, Close Combat, and Brave Bird. That hadn't really settled in with me yet.
Yeah, those are big moves.
Oh...
Yeah, it's going to be good. And then, of course, you've because this is VGC and he'll never die in that format, we've got Rotom Heat to back everything up just in case you can't kill it all with Brave Bird, Close Combat, and Wave Crash. Also, by the way, the Dondozo gets a quick Earthquake for free with the Flamigo on the field.
Yep.
Just gets to keep clicking it. It's fine. It's fine.
What a healthy meta.
Yeah, we've also got Rotom Heat with Levitate. Obviously, he is, 220 HP, 4 defense, 116 special attack, 4 special defense, 164 speed, modest nature. This is literally just a Rotom. There is nothing different about this. It is Overheat, Thunderbolt, Will-O-Wisp, and Protect with this Rotom Heat. There's nothing new about this Rotom Heat. This is just the one that we've been running for the past 20 years. Or not 20, 15 years. So. Yeah, keep on keeping on. Sublime, you got these last two.
Yeah, we got some ghosties to add to the team. We'll start with Annihilate with the Life Orb and the Defiant ability. So I dare you to bring Intimidate, okay? I dare you. Level 50, of course, with 28 EVs in HP, 220 attack, 4 defense, 4 special defense, and 252 speed. It's got a Jolly nature, so we're all in on speed. And then we're running Close Combat, Rage Fist, which is a new move, Taunt, and Protect. And Rage Fist is an interesting move. Its power increases by 50 each time the user was hit during a battle. So if you can get it hit a couple times, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
This includes if it hits itself in confusion.
But doesn't include things like entry hazards and poison.
And switching out doesn't cancel it. And it adds all the way up until it's 350 base power. So,
yeah, fun fact, Smogon had this move programmed incorrectly for a while, so, like, even hazards and things were setting it.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's nasty.
Yeah. Also, what's really funny, it's not reset on Switch, and that was coded correctly.
Yeah, and we also have Dragapult to finish up the team. Yeah, that thing is nasty, and ghost fighting is excellent.
I know, I noticed that it got it, and I'm like, and it's a 3-stage, so, like, the stats can't be garbage, right?
And no, and it's, like, all HP, attack, and speed. It's like, oh, you're just, oh, no.
Yeah.
Annihilate is real good.
Yeah, they really said, Primeape, you deserve the spotlight, and they gave it.
I love that, because Primeape is one of my favorite Gen 1 Pokemon. So, like,
same. I actually love Bisharp as well, so I'm excited for him as well.
I just wish King Gambit wasn't a crime against nature and man.
Yeah, but I'm happy for the Bisharp line as a whole. And then Dragapult, you needed another ghost up in here with the choice band, so physical. Terra type ghost, so we can get rid of that dragon weakness. Adamant nature, though. 252 speed, 252 attack, 4 HP, couldn't be simpler. Dragon darts, which is the real nerf of Gen 9, no longer shoots Dreepy, I understand.
What?
What?
That's the real nerf.
No! Mm-hmm. 0 to 10, worst games ever made.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Wow, okay, I'm taking a point off. I'm taking a whole point off.
Reddit's right, time to go burn down Game Freak.
Yep. Yep. Phantom Force. Cause you know, sometimes you want a Phantom Force. Sucker Punch and U-turn. So watch out. Hard U-turns.
All right. Well, this is a great team. I mean, this is something that I would definitely pick up and just use to get into the Scarlet and Violet meta, because it's a very simple strategy, but it's also the kind of combos you kind of want to get used to, especially this, because this is going to be prevalent.
Yeah.
Because this is kind of like...
They're going to be there the whole time.
The way I saw this was, I'm like, oh, so this is the strategy that's just going to be there the whole time that people are just going to kind of cling to and until we come up with something better, which we probably will, but not everybody will flock to it like they'll flock to this.
It feels like Trick Room in that it will always be around, yeah. And it will mess you up if you're not ready for it.
I agree with that.
You have to build... knowing about it.
But yeah. It's probably never gonna win Worlds, you know?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it did, but it depends also what they do in the coming months, because, like, I don't know how they're gonna handle the rules for VGC, if they're gonna handle it like they did during Sword and Shield, where the rules are just changing every 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Which, one, is fine if they do that, because Incineroar is not coming back, so I'm fine with this.
I will say this team is hard stopped by one Pokemon, and that is, of all things, Murkrow, which is seeing a lot of
play
right now.
Yeah.
Because Prankster Haze? Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. The thing your team set up around just doesn't work anymore.
Done.
Yep.
Just gone. Yeah.
That's very true. That's very true. But yes, go ahead, try it out. It's not going to go out to patrons, this team, just yet. We're waiting for the bot to be updated, like I said before. But either way, we've got an advent calendar, and you can get your shiny 6IV Japanese Ditto. It'll be a good time.
And as I understand it, this will go out to patrons, just not right now.
Yeah, just not right now. Eventually. Well, we have advent calendars, so once we get the new bot, they'll actually end up getting like their own line in the advent calendar. So it'll be fine. All right. Until then, though, we're going to take it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails!
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where we read your emails on the show. You can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, and we'll possibly read your email on the show. If not, they make it to our Discord server over at pucklediscord.com, where other people can enjoy them. Last week, we asked you guys what you thought of Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, so that was a loaded question. And we got a good number of emails, so we're going to read a few of them for you guys today. But before I do, I just want to remind everybody that this segment is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
Soon coming out with their black cherry and black raspberry flavors.
Cranberry. Give me that cranberry winter.
Ooh, black cranberry. That might be the new one, yeah. maybe that's the new one. We'll have to make our suggestions.
Yeah.
That feels like they just opened their door one day and the ocean spray people were there with cranberry juice or a gun, and it was their choice.
Yes.
And you know what? I welcome them.
They're working on their new flavors, guys, okay? We're gonna have to come up with like new badges. It's gonna be cute.
Terra Blast, that should definitely.
Oh no. You never know what Terra type is gonna be in the can. Alright, so this is our first email this week is gonna be from the British Gent. Dear Thatch and his fellow co-host Shamu and Mark. Oh, this must have been from last week. Oh yeah, he sent this right after we finished recording the episode or something. Jumping straight into the topic, new game next week. It's been all right. Not much of a progress week compared to previous new game releases for me, but that doesn't mean I've not been doing much in game. That's so true about this game though. And so as some of you know, this game has been the game. This game has been the game I've actually been able to play a Pokemon game with my daughter together, and it works. Mostly, I can't tell you how happy this made my daughter to see her jump up and tell her mom that she caught a Pokemon in my game she hadn't seen in hers. This game is the best. I can leave her to it and play alone because she understands what's going on. She can easily see where she needs to go. She can easily pick up what type of the Pokemon turn into when they get their party hats on as well. Yes, it does look daft, but the aim of the party hats is to easily show children the typings. I think it's honestly to show adults the typings too, but that's just me.
Listen, they're just Philip Tracy hats as far as I'm concerned, and I love them.
I think they're required. Like, they've definitely grown on me after the initial release where I was like, this is dumb. But, like, one, we need them, because if not, you don't know what the Terra type of the Pokemon is. And two, they're definitely got pretty classy with some. I do think the Dark type hat is pretty poop, though.
I don't disagree, which is a bummer.
I think that one's just a letdown.
I like the Steel hat a lot, because it's just, okay.
It's an axe. Yes, I love the Steel one.
Most of them are just, like, very wild and out there, and then the ones you didn't think would be tame are the tamest.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think that we would get such a tame Dark-type hat, and I'm just like, this needs to be better. That, like, that's the one that needs to be better for sure. Like, it just doesn't match with the rest of them. I think the Psychic-type and the Fairy-type hats are kind of lame, too.
Gorgeous. I like the Psychic hat a lot.
The Psychic one, I think, is the best of the ones I just said. All right. It may have taken over 5 hours before we got to the first town. I caught and filled my Pokedex to near over 50. Everybody's just doing like Professor Oak challenges now before we play the game.
I didn't mean to, but I did the same, so.
Same, but I don't know if I got to 50, but like it took me an hour to get to Megasoza more than it should have, yeah. Probably.
Oh, it took me 3. I had 54 things in my decks because I checked.
I found a shiny Stantler. I've not truly ventured past the first town, and it's taken me over 5 hours. And that's not down to going to school and being taught how to play the game. Crazy, I know. To be fair, the school is not actually that bad. I actually like it. For the most part, I like it.
We're in, like, the three houses. Everybody's gotta go to school, you know? Like, I'm here for it.
They tried to do, like, the dating sim type deal with, like, you becoming better friends with your professors.
Professors?
It was okay. I think they could have strengthened that a little bit. But it was exactly what I expected the Pokemon game to do with that.
There are also ones post Area Zero for Arwen.
Yeah.
For Arwen and Penny and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, I feel like those could have been worked in earlier, but also not. I don't know. It feels weird.
Yeah. I think the problem was they really wanted you to like get together at the end with all of them. And so it delayed a lot of things in terms of their character. All right. Where was I? As of right now, I'm currently standing at 4 gyms, 3 titans, and 2 star bases down. So I've got a fair bit to go. Overall, I'm loving what I see. This doesn't mean that I haven't had a couple of bad points on the list in mind. Fallen through a corner trying to jump up a ledge. I've had a couple of visual glitches while battling. The worst was while my daughter had joined my game, though. We played an hour or so exploring, finding new Pokemon. A Flamigo, a favorite animal of hers. Ralts, Pom Pom, or a Choreo, to name a few. We also had a moment of, wait, it's the tiny new coin Pokemon from the Pokemon game on your phone. We can catch it at last.
Aww.
Only to find out we couldn't catch it, and the disappointment set in. To be fair, I do kind of think that us not being able to catch roaming form getting cool in the game is kind of dumb.
I would agree, except, man, anything more than a single A press on those things in the overworld would get taxing immediately.
I don't disagree.
Listen, I need the coin, because I want to save it for a second, so yeah. I'll take them whenever I see them.
Only to find out that we couldn't catch it and disappointment set in. But this wasn't the worst bit. That happened moments later. The game crashed. Just over an hour of exploring gone. This was Friday night of release. So as you are most likely asking, did we use the method of reloading the secret backup save game? I believe it may have been pinned to the Discord. No, we didn't. That wasn't out at that point. Yes, unfortunately, we had tears. An hour of exploring all the land just after the lighthouse gone. So is the game perfect? Oh, no. Does it have visual glitches? Yes. Can I look past it? Yes. Annoying, but still yes. But that's just me. The designs of the Pokemon are great from what I've seen so far, and I think Shamu has heard a couple of my reactions to the Pokemon evolving and finding some. My beautiful Fuecoco being one. I'm mainly looking at you, Flamingo. Story-wise, I'm liking what I've seen so far. I've still got some way to go, though, so I can't give too much in on that. The raids so far have been fun, and I'm looking forward to raiding with others when I actually get time. Overall, this is a vast improvement from Swish. For me, best Pokemon game. The time I spent with my daughter playing this game, I can't explain to you how it feels. Mixed, yes, but very, very good mainly. That's all for now. I can easily talk more, but I'll likely do that in voice chat and Discord. I also need to get over England's performance against the USA in the World Cup. I need a strong cup of tea. Till next time, the British Jet. Oh, all right. Well, thank you for
that. Yeah, that must be embarrassing. Because, like, they care about soccer.
Oh, no.
Spain lost to Japan, and that can't feel good.
No, that can't.
All right. Who's got the next one, and what is it? I don't know who it is.
I'll take it.
Bear?
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I'll take it. We got one from Bear. Please help me, Puckle Crew. I took a week off from work, a week, to play Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. I fell in love with it so much.
Damn. Good for you.
Dedication. I run a Pokemon podcast and I didn't do that. Yeah, I took a day.
I worked home from Friday, so I basically phoned it in at work and played on Friday when it came.
I took a day off, and it doubled as, like, a date day, because, you know, Parter's playing it too, but, like, I didn't take a week. Played it for 85 hours in the 10 days from release till Sunday. Well, okay, I might have played 85 in those, like, 4 days, so maybe our definitions of obsessive are just a little different. His seems healthier, to be clear.
Yeah, he just went to work playing Pokemon instead of going to work for 10 days, like...
Versus me, who did literally nothing else.
Yeah.
I mean, I did other things. I wanted to slow burn this a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit.
I wasn't rushing. I was just doing nothing else, which there's a difference. Right. My wife and I played it together. Riding alongside her on my Pokemon in Paldea is my equivalent to horseback riding at the beach. It was wonderful, and relationship goals have been achieved. I especially enjoyed the stories. While some characters,
yes,
mainly the gym leaders, were played to be a joke, the ones that matter in the overarching story felt very human, and some of them really pulled at my heartstrings. The stories had some good twist and enough intrigue that I questioned the true intentions and motivations of some characters. How all stories have been woven together at the end felt natural. All of my companions have proven themselves as being capable in some way, shape, or form, and therefore I believe that these teenagers, young adults, are capable of tackling the challenges presented.
Oh yeah, favorite story in a Pokemon game. Period.
I think, honestly, in terms of characters as well, this is probably the strongest one so far. Every gym leader is somewhat memorable.
I like that they toned down the designs to still be creative, but not, like, garish.
Right? They all seem like they would be real people in the real world, especially Larry.
Yes! The Elite Four in particular, I think, is a good example of that.
The rematches add a lot, too. Because, like, Katie, just forgettable, whatever, she's fine. And then you come back and she's like, yeah, I think I'm just going to stop holding back on new kids. You're like, oh, uh-oh, I feel like that was a mistake.
You should probably hold back on new kids.
It was just like, oh, no, what have I done?
No, go back, I'll lose.
You're supposed to be the first gym. You're going to crush everybody. It's going to be sad.
It's like, okay, Katie's a Blood Knight. That's an interesting characterization. Mm-hmm. I only wish we could have chosen our character's age. The school is clearly an all-age university. Please let me at least be as the same age as Nimona and Arvin.
No, for real though, they should have done that. I think if they're not going to let us change our clothes, they should have at least let us check our age, because there are so many students with beards. One of them was a grandmother.
Oh, there's 100% elders up at this school, and I'm like, what kind of school is this? I'm confused now.
A well-funded public university. It's fine.
I definitely, like, battled student something, and it was like a 65, 70-year-old woman.
Well, they have time now. They've retired.
I'm not saying that can't happen. Just let me choose my age, because I think that would have been, like, I think in terms of character customization, that would have been the best, to let us choose our age.
Although this was the most robust character customization we've gotten, in terms of, like, making your character.
Yes, just not the clothing options, but I think that might come in DLC or something.
No, just in terms of, like, your face, hair, you know.
It would be great if the DLC starts with them being like, all right, hey, it's now break, so you can wear whatever you want.
I could see that happening.
That'd be pretty cool if it was just, like, it's break, it's summer vacation or whatever, yeah.
Meanwhile, purple's my favorite color, so I'm good.
You finish The Way Home, right? And then the DLC is the fifth story, and it explicitly starts with Clavel saying, our treasure hunt was fantastic. Now that the year is finished, it's summer vacation, and all of you can wear whatever you like. Go explore again! And then it ends, and you're like, alright, then we have your little story plot. But they've explicitly given you a reason to be able to take off the uniform.
It's the beach episode.
Yeah!
We go to the Isle of Armor.
That's what they need to do. Scarlet gets a beach zone. And Violet gets a Hot Springs episode.
All right. Keep going.
For me, it's time to go back to being Larry. Best regards, Bear. We got to the end.
Oh, we were at the end. Okay.
Love Larry.
Yeah, Larry's...
Love Larry.
Larry's the MVP. Larry's MVP.
Truly.
I love any character who tells children to stop dreaming.
All right. Well, we've got one more today, and I believe it's from Dooley.
Dooley noted. Yes. All right. I will wrap us up. Hey there, Thatch and Company. It's been a while since I've written into the mailbag. So my thoughts on Scarlet and Violet, and this is me speaking, but I want to call it Scurvy, like Scarlet and Violet Pokemon. Scurvy? You know?
Oh, I like it.
Scurvy, yeah, Scurvy. I'm trying to make that catch on. So try saying it. I'll try not to ramble on too much.
You will not make Scurvy happen.
Oh, it already made Scurvy happen. No, I don't know.
If you don't eat enough lemons, it happens.
Quality of life. At first I was disappointed that you could not enter houses, then I remembered how creepy that actually is. Just walking into someone's house while they're having dinner, playing with their Pokemon, going through their trash cans. So yeah, I appreciate that is not part of the game. You know, he right though.
No, well, so to be fair, a lot of people complain about not being able to go into a lot of the houses, and for me, I was just like, well, Sword and Shield is kind of the same, and I think it was a little bit more egregious because you'd enter the town, and then there'd be very few things you can go into. And here, at least, it's just like the world is the overworld is like the thing you're supposed to is like the main course.
Yeah. And like, incidentally, you can go into more places and towns now just because they have shops everywhere.
That's true.
They did the Persona thing where they had a couple buildings you could go in the entire game. But most of the shops are menus, and that's fine.
Yeah, I'm OK with that. I'm OK with it.
I don't want more loading screens.
Yeah. And you know what? The towns have a lot of personality and character. Mm-hmm. Every town.
I agree, actually.
So, it doesn't bother me as well. A quality of life. I love breeding Pokemon, going for 6 IVs, shiny egg hunting, but it's always taken forever. Now, it's so much easier, which makes it so much more fun to do. It's so much faster. So many other quality of life improvements. Sure, it's still a grind, but it's less of a grind and more fun. I love the open world freedom, although it's difficult to actually go, quote, in the order you want, without scaling. I decided to try Iono's gym first. Yeah, that didn't go so well. Well, yeah, it's open world. It doesn't mean you can just go to the hardest spot.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah, right. Plus, you can't really traverse the terrain until you get enough Titans to upgrade your right Pokemon.
Yep.
Well, yeah, you gotta do that too. That's part of it.
Like I said earlier, I think this is a perfect way for them to have handled a Pokemon open world game, though.
I loved it. Like, I like how they handled so many things.
I think doing level scaling is a horrible idea.
Agree.
This is a very good way to handle it, where we could do it, like, we had the opportunity to do it, but we're going to get smacked for doing it.
Yeah, like, I don't know about you guys, I went west first, then kind of had to retreat back east.
I did Katie, the gym, I don't remember the directions, and then I went back and did Cloth, and then I did the Dark.
Did you go to Brassius? Is that what you did, Sublime?
No.
I did Brassius first.
The water gym was my second badge, actually. Yeah, I stayed on the west side for a while.
I went there.
Then I went back and did Brassius. Then
I did Brassius first.
I did the left, then right. Yeah, that works both ways.
I'm also kind of like impressed with the size of the world. Like, I'm pretty impressed with it.
Same. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the glitchiness, his disappointments. I do hope they patch it soon. I have the latest OLED, and it takes several seconds to render the Pokemon when I switch to different boxes. It crashed on me once, but thank Arceus for autosave.
Everybody keeps talking about the OLED versus the launch switch, by the way. I don't know how to tell people that there isn't, like, any real performance difference.
There's no appreciable difference.
There's no difference.
The big difference is cartridge versus download.
Well, like, when they came out the OLED, they specifically said, like, the hardware is not any different. It's just a better screen. You buy it for the white Joy-Cons, the OLED screen, and the better kickstand. You don't buy it for any performance gains.
They still don't let you back up your saves to the cloud. I mean, you invest hours to the game, make some connections to your Pokemon, probably will be bringing in your old favorites from bank, or I mean home. And if anything happens to your Switch, it's bye-bye to everything. I already had this happen in Sword, lost some of my old favorite mons too.
It's a duplication thing.
Yeah.
And then Poppy of the Elite Four is on his disappointment.
I agree.
What is she like? 6?
I hardcore agree.
I don't hate her. Whatever. It's fine.
Well, Poppy 1 is the least developed of all of the Elite Four members as a character.
Sure, but she's like a kid also, so like she has childlike behavior.
Okay, that needs to be explained to me.
She's just a battle prodigy.
Because they say that Nimona's the youngest champion, and then, so is Poppy not a champion to be on the Elite Four?
I guess not.
But what's Poppy doing testing people to become champion? I'm so confused.
You know what? She's just that girl.
Look, she never took the qualification. What if, you know, there might just be a minimum age and she just hasn't hit it yet? Thatch.
I'm so confused.
Look, it's a classic Anakin situation. They haven't granted her the title of champion, but she is allowed to sit on the council.
I'm just so confused by Poppy as a character, and I just don't like her.
I don't think it's that much to think about. Like, it's just a kid that's really good. Like, you know, let it be.
I hope that she gets development over the DLC.
I'm not going to hold my breath for that, but...
I wouldn't.
Because it's possible if they go... Because she very clearly, with her steel type and the color of her hair and stuff, she resembles Wickstrom a lot.
Yes.
And if they do anything with the fact that France is right there, then maybe that'll come up. Who knows?
I feel like people are expecting something Colossian. Yeah, I don't know why, but I keep hearing that.
They mark the thing off on the map, though. Like, the area on the map where it's at is, like, X'd off instead of just, like, saying, this is the Circle of Paldea, and here's a really tall mountain range you can't catch. They're just like, no, there's land there. We're just not letting you go.
Yeah, there's definitely gonna be something there.
There may be, there may not. It might just be how they wanted to handle that border. But still, there's hope for Poppy. I just don't care about her. I don't hate her, because that would require, you know, feeling. It's like,
I don't mind her. I'm very neutral on her. Like, I'm neutral to positive. Yeah. A lot of people seem to dislike her, though.
In all honesty, if they really wanted to make this, like, best Pokemon game ever, they give us Kalos. Like, I think that would be insane.
That would be. You're right. That would be insane.
I don't think it's going to happen, but if they did it, I would be like, best Pokemon generation. Yeah, done. Like, it happened. They just let us into Kalos. Why?
Well, you know, I think of the modern generation of Pokemon, 6 was my favorite until 9, so we just flipped it around. That's all.
I agree. No, I agree with you. And I would be insane if they, like, combined them somehow. Like, it would just be insane. I wouldn't be able to fathom it.
Anyway, I've rambled enough. Thanks for reading this. I gotta get back into the Discord and join in some raids with you guys. Keep on keeping on. This mailbag letter is duly noted.
Well, thank you for that, Dooley. Do we have anybody we want to give the Green Taurus badge to today? We'll give it to all of them again. You guys did so great.
Yeah, why not?
All right. You can try for the Green Taurus badge next week by sending us an email to pokopodcast@gmail.com and letting us know what your top 5 and bottom 5 Pokemon from Scarlet and Violet are. Or maybe just like one. Maybe like a top and a bottom. Not the whole list. And tell us why. If you just get to send us a list, it probably won't be read on the show. So tell us why. PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Until then, though, if you want to keep up with Puckle, best way to do so is come over to our Discord at PuckleDiscord.com. You can, of course, follow us at social media over on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter until it dies. And you can continue to watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv/thePucklePodcast, at YouTube, youtube.com/c/PucklePodcast, where we live stream to both right now. I'm trying to do Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I think this Thursday, Seth and I are going to deck test with each other for our upcoming Arlington Regionals. We'll see how well that goes. I can't, because none of the software is updated, so it kind of sucks. Like, a lot of big important cards just don't work on PCCGO or Pokemon Live. It's really bad. Additionally, if you would like to support the show, you can always do so at patreon.com/PucklePodcast. We've got Game Corner for you over there. We've got an exclusive chat on the Discord. And we are doing a giveaway right now for the shiny Japanese 6IV Ditto. And of course, there's going to be a new advent calendar track for you as soon as the bot updates. Until then, though, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I continue to be Sublime.
And I'm Linian.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.